The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Luke chapter 15, verses 25 to 32. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today's gospel lesson and the sermon text both tell of the situation where someone was not happy that another person repented of their sins and was saved. There is much rejoicing over the lost sheep, coin, and son when they are found. The gospel lesson says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I am sure that you have heard of the story of the prodigal son before. It is a story of a boy who had everything that any boy could expect in life. He had a happy home life, loving parents, enough clothes, sufficient food and money to spend. All these were his, and yet he wasn't satisfied. He was tired of staying at home. He wanted a new experience, a high adventure in a far-off country. He rebelled against the restraints of that well-ordered home life required. He wanted to be free from his parents, without inhibitions and without discipline. Therefore, the prodigal son asked his father for the inheritance that was due to him. After all, he would receive it someday. Why not now, before he became too old and decrepit to enjoy it? Without a question, his father gave it to him. And now, with a pocket full of money and a song in his heart, he set out for the faraway country. There, he had a good time. He gained his new experience. And there he had his high adventure. But he wasted his goods with wild living. He made many friends, but these friends were loyal only as long as he had money to spend. After rounds of revelry, the inheritance was soon gone, and so were his friends. But worst of all, there was a famine in the land about that time, and it was difficult to get work. In order to keep body and soul together, the wayward son attached himself to a citizen of that country who offered him the job of looking after pigs, and he ate the husks that the pigs ate. Finally, the boy came to himself and realized that he had been very foolish. He remembered the good things of a former day in his father's house. He dreamed of the food that he could once enjoy, the clothes that he once wore, and the loving care of his parents. So he resolved to go back home with a penitent heart and to be received merely as a servant. He did not think himself worthy to become a son again, for he had squandered his inheritance and had broken his father's heart. He memorized his speech carefully. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." But he did not have to make that speech, for when he was a long way off, his father saw him coming, and he ran to meet him. The father was so happy to receive the wayward son that he fell on his neck and kissed him. It was enough that he came back home, even though he was filthy, untidy, and in rags. Immediately a feast was prepared, and all the household rejoiced that the son who was lost was found. This is a story of God's way with wayward children. His sons have everything that they could expect and that a human heart could desire. Yet they are not satisfied, and they desire only too often a new experience. They become weary of religious restraints and godly discipline. They leave the father's house, and they wander to a far country, filling themselves with the filth of a sordid world. But the father does not forget them, although they have forgotten the father. He calls them home again by sending some unfortunate experience into their little lives. Then they remember the father's loving heart, the kindness and the tenderness of a former day. With a repentant heart, they return and come back home, telling the father that they are not worthy to be called his sons. And at the father's heart is big enough in its love, and he forgives them and reinstates them as his sons. However, there is a sequel to the story of the prodigal son. It is a story complete in itself, the story of the son who stayed home. He was one that did not rejoice over his brother's return, because he was of a sulking disposition, a self-righteous individual, and consequently he missed many joys. Thus he represents a sordid side of the human personality. And we might as well be honest with ourselves and realise that he represents the sinful nature of every one of us. So let us consider the son who stayed home. May the Lord bless our meditation this evening. Firstly, the son who stayed home, his sulking disposition. It was the night of the prodigal son's return. The son who stayed home was still out in the field and just about ready to come in for supper. He had worked hard all day, and now at evening he was very tired. He noticed that there was a great deal of activity in the household, and he heard the music and the dancing. So he asked one of his servants what all the fuss and flurry was about. He knew what it was about. Day after day, he had seen his father look down the dusty road, expecting the prodigal's return. He just didn't want to admit that he knew. After all, he wasn't getting the attention that his brother was getting. No one was celebrating his return at the evening of a hard day's work. No one was giving him any recognition for working his fingers to the bone day after day. Why should such a fuss be made over his brother who ran away from home and spent his substance with harlots? He sulked and would not participate in the joy of his brother's return. Why should anyone waste time and effort, and even the fatted calf, which he himself had raised, simply because someone came back home? The son who stayed home had a soured, sulking disposition and attitude. As such, he represents many people of today, those who stayed in the father's house. They see all joy and happiness caused by just one sinner who repents and comes back home. But they won't participate because no one ever made a fuss over them, although they stayed in the father's house all the time. No one ever appreciates their efforts in the work of the kingdom, and now one who has wasted his goods and has come back home receives much honour and recognition. Some people are like that. Their very disposition is one of sour grapes. They see only the gloomy side of things, and they see only shadows in a world of sunshine. God has intended for people to be happy and cheerful. For that reason, he has given us the pleasant things of life to enjoy, that they might make merry the hearts of men. He has given us the trees, with the laughter of the wind blowing through their leaves. He has given us the babbling brooks with their waters, racing to the ocean, and from there to return again. He has given us the mountains to lift our eyes heavenward, and to make us realize that our help and strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth. God has given us music to thrill us, and all the things of beauty to be a joy forever. For that same reason, so that we might be happy forever, God has sent his only begotten Son, that through him we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. That was the Saviour's last wish on the night before his death, Jesus asked his Father in heaven that his own may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That night, although the atmosphere was charged with sorrow and dark anticipation, yet there was to be joy and gladness when all would be finished. Even though they would have sorrow for a moment, their sorrow would be turned into joy, and their joy no man shall take from them. Writing to the Philippians, St. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice." Christians, therefore, should be the most happy people of all. There should never be a gloomy disposition, because they always have a reason to be cheerful. Especially when they see a prodigal's return, their attitude should be one of happiness and cheerfulness. After all, there is enough to thrill the hearts of men, even when they do stay at home in the Father's house. These are the joys that were missed by the son who stayed home. He missed them because he was self-righteous. Secondly, the son who stayed home, his self-righteousness. The son who stayed home looked only to himself and to his own interests. His little world revolved around himself as the axis. He did not have the larger vision of the needs and wants and thoughts and desires of his fellow men. For as soon as the father noticed his sulky disposition, he asked him to participate in the festivity. The elder son would not go in, but said, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." He wanted his father to know that he had been a very good son. He had not asked for his inheritance ahead of time, as his brother had done. He had always obeyed his father's command and had faithfully performed all of his duties. He had never gone contrary to his father's wishes. He wanted his father to know that he had not left home and had not spent his substance with wild living. And yet, even though he had been such a faithful son, his father had never staged a celebration for him. His father had never even killed a kid for him, much less the fatted calf. His friends had never been asked to come and enjoy music and dancing. But now, as soon as the prodigal returns, a celebration is put on. Even though the prodigal had transgressed every commandment in the book, had broken the father's heart, and had come home in rags, yet a ring is placed on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a robe on his shoulder. Perhaps the son who stayed home had made a good point here. But let us not forget to whom and under what circumstance the Saviour told this story. He was telling it to the scribes and Pharisees after they had accused him of receiving sinners and eating with them. They thought that Jesus certainly should not associate with his low and base characters. Rather, Jesus ought to associate with people who have not fallen so low as the tax collectors and sinners. Surely Jesus should associate with those who are better than other men. So the Saviour wanted them to know why he associated with the tax collectors and sinners. They had repented and come back to the Father's house. They had been reinstated into the Father's loving care, and for that reason there was to be joy and gladness and festivity, even among the angels in heaven. After all, well people do not need a doctor, but those who are sick recognize their need of help and will go to the doctor. The prodigal, therefore, represents those who have come back home, and the son who stayed home represents the self-righteous. The Pharisees were the self-righteous who thought that they needed no repentance. They thought they had always kept the laws of God, and why should there be such a fuss made over a lonely sinner who comes back home? Such an attitude is still evident today. There are those who think that they have always kept the Father's house rules. They believe that they have never caused their Father any trouble. They have never been arrested. They have never molested anyone. They have never stolen. They have never caused their parents any sorrow or their children any shame. They have always been respectable citizens. They have not been as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. But how about the matters of mercy and kindness? Have they had a loving attitude toward the less fortunate? Have they been considerate of the poor and the homeless? Have they given clothing to the naked, food to the hungry, and drink to the thirsty? Have they ever visited the sick and the imprisoned? The outward laws they might have kept, but certainly not the spirit of the law. And then how about the matters of judgment? Have they always been tolerant of others? Or can they see only the speck that is in their brother's eye? Patience, meekness, forgiveness. These and many other virtues they have neglected. They are as whited graves, but full of dead men's bones. That was a trouble with the son who stayed home. His attitude was one of self-righteousness. Thirdly, the son who stayed home passed up many pleasures. The son who stayed home might have missed many joys of a faraway country. He might have missed the fun of wild living. He didn't leave home to spend his life and his substance in the pleasures of sin. But is that joy? I doubt that it is joy, and it certainly isn't happiness. The thrills may be great, but they are certainly only momentarily. There is no true joy in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There is no joy in the selling of the soul for anything. These joys and thrills end in dust and ashes, in remorse and regrets, in a seared soul, and in a burnt-out body. These fleeting joys and thrills were passed up by the son who stayed home, and it is well for him that he did. The son who stayed home also missed the joy of repentance. There is a pleasure in discovering oneself. There is a joy in finding oneself, the origin, the purpose, and the destiny of life. There is the most marvellous discovery to know oneself, to know yourself in the light of the past and of the present and of the future. This joy the son who stayed home had to miss, for he had not come to himself, as did the son who wandered away. He missed the joy of true repentance, which says to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Consequently, he could not share in the father's happiness over a sinner who repents, the joy of a father over a son that had found himself, the joy of a father's waiting arms and endearing kiss. Finally, the son who stayed home missed the joys of seeing the soul of a brother restored to an anxious father. He wasn't happy that his brother came home, because he had made no effort to bring him back. He was satisfied to see his brother run the road that leads to death and destruction. He wasn't concerned about the soul that was rapidly going to ruin. This same joy is missed by many a person who stays home even today. They are the people who make no effort to bring back the lost and the erring. They are not concerned about the souls of people who are dying, but who need not die. They are satisfied to stay home and to say nothing about the Father's great love in sending his Son for the redemption of the world. However, those people who do make an effort in bringing the lost and the straying back to the Father's waiting arms have experienced a joy that cannot be described. They have seen the light of God in the eyes of a forgiven soul, the light of a devotion to God, the light of a heart burning with love and zeal to do the Father's will. Their speech is like the music of angels, and their loyalty to the Father's house is from that time on unbroken. So, that is the story of the son who stayed home. It is a pathetic story, a story of a man who sulked in his doleful disposition, the story of a self-righteous individual, the story of a man who missed earth's and heaven's greatest joys. It is a story without an ending, because the last we see of the son who stayed home, the father is still standing there, pleading with him to change his attitude. Wouldn't we rather have seen him come into his father's house so that he might participate in the joy of sins forgiven and souls redeemed in the presence of God and his holy angels? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.